This is a Hot Pie Media original.
Hello, everybody from Austin, Texas. It's the DNP CD Sports Podcast. Chad, how are you doing today, my friends?
Doing great, brother. How are you?
Not too bad, man. A good weekend of football watching. We had NFL games Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We have four blowouts, complete trash games that were not really a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
And then two closer games, but there was some drama in the closer games as well. So it made for good television.
Yeah, man. I think you're going to have that with the wild card and everything. Now you got probably a couple teams that probably shouldn't be in the playoffs to begin with.
So. Eagles, Steelers.
Yeah, definitely. Then we call that too. We said the Steelers are going to be close for a little bit, about a half,
yep.
And then it was going to get nasty. And that's exactly what happened.
Exactly.
Yeah, they had no business being in there. It would have been awesome to see Justin Herbert versus Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Probably gave him a better game anyways. I mean, shit.
Yeah.
A couple of high school teams could have gave them a better game. Jesus Christ.
No joke. What were your thoughts on that? Bengals, Raiders, whistle, the phantom whistle drama.
It seems like the NFL has got to do something about the officiating, man, because it's just like, it seems like almost every week we're having this discussion way more than we ever have.
Yeah.
It used to be like fashionable to talk shit about NBA referees and stuff. And I watch a shit ton of NBA. And NBA officiating, although, of course, there's 82 games in a season, you're going to have a couple bad ones. And I saw one last weekend. Cavs and Thunder was a terribly officiated game. But for the most part, officiating has been pretty good. But in the NFL, it seems like, man, it's like every other week we're talking about this shit, about some goofy-ass crew. One thing that they got to stop doing, too, is mixing these crews up, man. They've got...
I agree there, yeah.
They're supposedly the best from each official, you know, line judge, all this stuff, and there's no camaraderie. They don't know each other, and I think it shows, man. You see how these games are being officiated, and it seems like every week, man. I just hope it doesn't happen like in a Super Bowl or NFC Championship
game.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen it happen in bigger profile games. I mean, remember the Saints Vikings game a couple years ago? Was it Saints Vikings?
Yeah,
Saints. Yeah. That defensive pass interference. It's pretty ugly. I think this one was particularly egregious because afterwards, when the NFL released a statement, they said that they talked to the officials and the officials said, yeah, there was a whistle, but it was after the catch.
It's yeah.
Like, how can you, like, this isn't like a split second thing. And it's like, oh, someone could have interpreted it this way. Like, that whistle clearly blew. You saw the defensive back let up. And then even the dude that caught the touchdown was kind of like not celebrating because I think he even knew that the play was dead.
Yeah.
And then somehow you uphold that and it's a touchdown. The only thing I can say, silver lining, if you want to call it that, was the fact that it happened early in the game and it wasn't in the fourth quarter. It would have been, I think, a lot harder to swallow. So at least the Raiders had an opportunity to try to, claw back from this poor decision. But
they lost by less than a score, though, man. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, it was a seven. I think it was seven, right?
Six or seven.
Yeah. And so, as we said, by the way, Cincinnati win, we're a little bit shaky on the cover. It was close on that with it being six or seven. So, yeah, man, that was an ugly one. I've been waiting to talk to you about the Cowboys 49ers ending. What were your thoughts on that one, man?
It's Mike McCarthy being Mike McCarthy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like no matter what was going to happen this year, Mike McCarthy was going to cost them a game.
We said that in the regular season.
Yeah.
And then when we handicapped this game last week, we said that the 49ers have a better coaching staff than the Cowboys. And don't get me wrong, Kyle Shanahan, I think, made a few mistakes in this game as well. He wasn't flawless, but McCarthy was way more incompetent, especially in the fourth quarter.
Didn't they set a record for most penalties or something like that?
It was ugly, man.
Dude, that's coaching. You know what I'm saying?
Pre-snap penalties.
That comes down to coaching, man.
Yeah.
That's who that falls on. It falls on the shoulders of the coaches. And it's Mike McCarthy. He's sloppy. He's not a great coach. He's basically just like a cheerleader on the sidelines. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't call the plays. You know, he just doesn't seem like he knows what the hell he's doing. If Jerry Jones was smart, I understand bringing him in. You know, last year you want to get some stability after having Jason Garrett, who's a shitty coach as well.
Yeah,
it's about time for Cowboys fans anyway to start looking at the ownership, man. You know, and I know they're not selling the team anytime soon. That's never going to happen. It's going to be a Jones family franchise forever. But you got to start thinking about that, man, because that's not going to happen, obviously. But if you're a Cowboys fan, man, you just got to kind of accept that you're going to be like this because Jerry Jones meddles way too fucking much. He's always up in everybody's shit. The only dumbass GM that I know that has a press conference after every
owner.
Game.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's also the GM. Yeah, though.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call. Yep, yep.
So he says he's doing it because he's a GM.
Yeah.
Bullshit. He's wearing his GM hat or whatever. He's doing it because he's a fucking attention whore, dude. That's what it is.
And control freak. I remember we had on Greg Ellis, the Cowboys' number three all-time leader in sacks. And, you know, he talked about how he had some positive and some negative things to say about Jerry, but he talked about how it's a business.
Yeah.
This is a business to him. He's running it as a business. He's not necessarily running it to win. This is now me saying this, not Greg. He's not necessarily running this team to win Super Bowls. He seems to be running this team to make money, and he's doing good at that. You got Jerry World. He's got this big stadium.
I think it was I read a Charles Barkley book. This was many years ago, one of Charles Barkley's books. And he said in there that's a common misconception a lot of people have about professional sports is that you have to be good in order the franchises have to be good. They don't have to be good. They have to make money.
Now with revenue sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't give a shit. So they're going to make money. Dallas, you know, up until a while ago, the only team in Texas, you know what I'm saying? Houston. No one gives a shit about Houston. Mm-hmm. And so you've got this massive state. And you have a monopoly on that. And so, he's going to make money hand over fist every single year because the Cowboys and people are going to buy gear. People are going to come to the games, 100,000 people, seat stadium. He's going to be able to sell jerseys and make money and stuff like that, but he's going to run that franchise into the ground. And what's going to be sad is also is like, as he gets older, becomes more senile and all that shit, it's going to be even worse because no one's going to tell him no, you know what I'm saying? And so, as you see that now, I mean, you watch like Hard Knocks and stuff like that. It's just, he's over involved, man. And
yeah.
And there is such a thing. And if he wants to be the coach, be the fucking coach, dude. You're the GM, you're the owner. You can do that.
Yeah.
Then do that, dude. Because what you're doing right now, you're just hovering over these coaches. No one feels comfortable. Nobody in their right mind wants to take that job. Look at the coaches they've had over the last few years, you know, over the last decade or so.
I don't think they've had a coach with a backbone since Bill Parcells.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. And so we saw how that turned out, you know. Exactly. So that's what he wants. It reminds me a lot of like in baseball, like the Yankees, so they want to rely heavily on data and everything like that. And you do this in this situation. They feel
analytics
like
analytics.
Yeah,
shit.
Analytics and shit. And I feel like he's the same way, man. He wants to like say, okay, well, you do this, you do this when X, Y, and Z happens. And it's like robotic, very robotic. Yeah. And you can see it in the way that team plays, man. They're just not disciplined. They don't have a leader because no one knows who the leader is.
Yeah, for real. And going back to that game and the ending, I thought Dak embarrassed himself in the press conference.
Yeah, that was.
I thought McCarthy embarrassed himself in the press conference. You got Dak Prescott coming out and saying, "Did you see what he said? They were throwing shit at the.
I saw some dildos on the field. That was
that was the Buffalo game the week earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
It maybe happened again. I don't know, but I know it definitely happened a week earlier. But Dak was asked about the fans throwing stuff, and they were clearly throwing things at the ref. They obviously weren't throwing things at their own players, and he kind of took that personally. And he's like, "Well, yeah, I can't believe that they would throw things at the players who are working so hard." And the reporter corrected him and was like, "Nah, Dak, I think they were actually throwing it at the refs." And he goes, "Well, credit to him then." Like he literally encouraged. Wow. So hold up for a second here. Dak Prescott, you're going to blame the officials for them not spotting the ball correctly. I'm going to count three fucking mistakes. One, the play call for McCarthy was incredibly risky.
Yeah.
Okay. It was going to be close, even if that ref was fast as hell. So it was a coin flip.
Call a draw for
it. It was insane. It's a fireable offense, in my opinion. And I don't think he's going to get fired because of Jerry Jones. But one, it's a questionable, at best, questionable play call. Maybe you say it was a risky play call. Those are the only words I'm going to allow you to characterize this play call. Number two, Dak could have slid sooner.
Yeah.
Number three, when McCarthy calls or Moore is calling the play in, right? They've got the quarterback's ear. They can say, "Hey, Dak, make sure you slide at the 32-yard line.
Yeah.
Slide here." That would have saved some time too. That's the third fuck up. Fourth fuck up, I thought there was three. There's actually four, is not handing the ball to the official. Yeah. I don't know if anybody saw on Dan Orlovsky's Twitter. He had a great breakdown. He's going nuts. He's like, nobody, no football player has ever been taught to do what he did with the ball. They're all taught in that situation to give to the ball to the official. Remember Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
Remember that famous fucking clip of Larry Fitzgerald, like, finding the official with the ball to make sure the ball got spotted correctly? Where was that sense of urgency?
Yeah.
I don't even want to say sense of urgency. Where was that awareness on Dak Prescott's
part? Where
was
the preparation, man? You know what I'm saying?
It was ugly.
This is coaching. You know what I'm saying?
It was ugly.
You go over this shit and drills all damn year long, dude.
Yep.
This isn't the first game of the fucking season, dude.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? This is something that you prepare for the last 25, 30 weeks.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? With OTAs and camp and everything like that. This is one of the first things you fucking do is a 2-minute drill, dumbass. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like it's Mike McCarthy, dude. It does not surprise me whatsoever. That's Mike McCarthy. Get used to it, motherfuckers.
Yep.
Because that's what you're gonna get for as long as he's there.
My favorite sports betting radio station, whenever they're handicapping Cowboys games, they always talk about the McCarthy tax.
Oh, yeah.
They always talk about
that's a couple
they're like,
points.
Well, it should be a 3-point spread, home field advantage, but you got the McCarthy tax, so let's make it 4.5.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's something you actually have to consider, which is sad when handicapping these games. I will say this, though. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, in the Hard Knocks and everything like that, he just seems like he's Jason Garrett 2.0.
Yeah.
He's a worse version of Jason Garrett,
yeah.
Dude. He probably, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's hard to determine.
Yeah.
Those guys are both dumbasses, you know what I mean? But when I watched the Hard Knocks with Jason Garrett, all I saw was a bunch of clapping, a bunch of gum chewing with his fucking mouth open like a goddamn animal and shit, too. Like, dude, close your fucking mouth. You're a grown man, dude. What are you chewing your fucking mouth open for, dude? He's such an asshole. And now they got Mike McCarthy, who's just, you know, I don't know, he got short ribs in his pocket or some shit. Like, this dude is fat motherfucker. He's just not somebody that I think players want to go to battle with. He's just like, oh, okay, oh, this is the guy. Okay, cool, sure.
I've never seen coaches and players scapegoat the officials as bad as in this situation. Like, own it. You guys messed up. I just counted 4 times that you messed up. Own it in that
single
press
play.
Come on.
Yeah, not to mention all the other shit. This is the penalties, man. That's a reflection of coaching.
Pre-snap penalties.
This is
pre-snap
like,
penalties.
I saw this when the Browns had Freddie Kitchens as their head coach. First couple of games of the season, I think it was against Oakland at the time. Franchise record for penalties in a game. Next week did the exact same shit. Didn't get better, didn't do anything. And so didn't change anything. And so this is what you get, man. This is what, if you're a Cowboys fan, get used to it, man. Because as long as Jerry Jones is the owner, you go to see dumb shit like this.
Exactly. And we're going to talk more about these games and more about next week's games. But before we do, we want to talk a little bit about Oddshark, our lead sponsor on this show. Chad and I absolutely love Oddshark. We were using their website before they started sponsoring our show because they've got fantastic information. They've got fantastic articles, not just about football, which we're talking about today, but boxing, UFC, pretty much literally any sport you could possibly imagine. You can learn a lot about sports betting by going to Oddshark. So if you're a novice bettor or you're a degenerate like me who's been betting for decades, you can use that website as a resource for you. And we talk a lot about line movement on the show, right? Like how you want to shop around for the best number. You don't want to take a team +6 and then realize you could have got them for +6.5 if you had just taken a little bit more effort. Oddshark is kind of a conglomerate of putting all of these numbers into one spot for you so you don't have to hop around from website to website. It's really convenient.
Yeah, and the best part is it's absolutely free, man. There's no memberships, no fees, anything like that. You can go to their website right now, oddsshark.com, and you can find all these lines. Make sure you get the best number. You got 8 or 9 different sites there that's going to tell you where you can go to get the best number, man. So if you consider yourself a legit bettor, man, you have to go to Oddshark.
Yeah, oddsshark.com. But moving on, Chad, these games this upcoming week, man, I'm curious what your thoughts are on, we just ended with the 49ers game, so let's talk 49ers Packers.
Should be a better week, man. We should have some more competition here, better games. San Francisco at Green Bay, that's a good matchup, man, but I just think Green Bay... Dude, I really think Green Bay's going to win the Super Bowl this year, man. I just don't. It's Aaron Rodgers, man. I just feel like he's having the best year of his career. He's played through injuries, and now he's healthy that he got, you know, a week off, 2 weeks off. And so I just think they're at home. You got to do it goes through Green Bay, you know what I'm saying? And San Francisco is a very formidable opponent, but I think this is just going to, this is where rubber meets the road, man. And I think Green Bay is just way too good. They've got the best player in football right now, man.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks I've rolled with the 49ers money line, and it's paid handsomely, upsetting the Rams in the last week of the season, and then last week upsetting the Cowboys. Those money line bets have hit. This week, I like the 49ers plus six a lot. I do think that number's going down. I think that we're going to get news that Fred Warner is going to play. That was a low ankle sprain, not a high ankle sprain. He's the captain of their defense. He's the quarterback of their defense. He calls the plays. Super important guy, all pro guy. And then Nick Bosa in concussion protocol. This is a little dicey, man. This is a short week since they play on a Saturday. They need Nick Bosa. Assuming you have Nick Bosa, the plus six is a bargain. That number is way too high. I think once we hear that Bosa and Warner are going to play, that number is probably going to go down to four. It's not a guarantee, but I'd have to, I don't want to say assume, but I'd have to guess that those two guys are going to play. And I think by kickoff, you'll be happy that you got the plus six at that point, although we have seen Packer money come in early right now. The case against the 49ers that I'll make is I am a little concerned, and nobody's talking about this, by the way. I'm a little concerned about Garoppolo's thumb in the cold weather. So he's got this fucking apparatus on his hand. It's hard to even explain. It's like this black thing. If you're watching on the video version, it goes all the way around his thumb and like attaches to the rest of his hand. And he's talked about how it's harder for him to grip the football sometimes. He's like, I don't want to make excuses, but on that interception, it was tough for me to grip the football. So if you're struggling to grip the football, to me, cold weather, really, really cold weather, 0 degrees we're talking here, folks, with the wind chill, and you can't feel your fingers, isn't that going to make it harder for you to grip the football when your thumb's already fucked up?
Yeah.
So
probably 20 degrees, cold as shit in Green Bay too, man. So.
Yeah, and I checked the weather out, and we're looking at like a 15, 20% chance of precipitation. We're looking at about 15 degrees, but colder than that with the wind chill. So I don't know, man. That's the one thing that makes me nervous. And then, of course, Nick Bosa being cleared from the concussion protocol as well. If the 49ers have those two guys healthy, though, I think they're live for a money line play, for a sprinkle on the money line. I think they match up really well with Green Bay. People look at the stats and they say, Green Bay's, you know, 11th or 12th in the league in defending the rush, about where the Cowboys are, who the 49ers just thrashed running the ball. Really? But if you look at their DVOA rankings, and if you're not familiar with DVOA, Football Outsiders puts together these DVOA rankings. And in a nutshell, what it does is it basically gives you the rankings based on who each team has played, right? So in my opinion, and in their opinion, it's a much more accurate version of how these teams do. Because if you're like in the NFC East and you're playing against shitty teams, mm-hmm. and it looks like you're putting up a lot of yards against shitty defenses, it accounts for that. And according to DVOA, the Packers are not a good team against the rush. They're actually a bottom five team against the rush. And now you got this 49er offense with Debo Samuel and Elijah Mitchell that I think can run the ball well on the Packers. And that is the formula to beat the Packers, is you keep them off the field. How many times these last 5 or 6 weeks have we seen the 49ers have 8-minute drives, 9-minute drives, 11-minute drives? That's how you beat the Packers. And I think the 49ers match up really well against them.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has played in Green Bay so long, man. He knows that weather. I agree with you that they're not very strong defensively. And they definitely have holes. They're not like a complete or perfect team by any stretch of the imagination. But I still just think that Aaron Rodgers is going to will them to victory, man. I think we're going to have a rematch of last year's NFC Championship game, Green Bay and Tampa Bay. But you never know, man. The last thing I want to see is San Francisco and L.A. I'll say that,
again?
Man. Yeah. I mean, I know, I'm sure you would love that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But as a football fan, I do not want to see that shit.
We might have the Jimmy versus Tom matchup that I described earlier and made a call for on Twitter. But
all seven of you are waiting anxiously to see. Yeah.
Oh, the storylines would be good for that one, though. The storylines would be good. But but it's going to be fun, man. Moving on here. How about this this Bengals team, man? You think they're for real, and can they upset the Titans?
They definitely can. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're 3.5-point underdogs. I would not be surprised whatsoever. Is Derrick Henry going to play?
I think they're saying he is, but it's going to be like on a limited basis,
yeah.
Potentially.
Well, we'll see how limited
I don't think
is.
Anybody knows the answer to that question. The speculation is it's going to be on a limited basis.
Yeah, we'll see how limited that is once Tannehill throws a pick or two.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they absolutely can beat Tennessee. And, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I don't think Tennessee's they're a paper tiger. It's kind of unfathomable that they were the number one seed in the AFC this year, very weak AFC. this year. Cincinnati could absolutely beat them. I'm not going to say they are, but I would take the 3.5 for sure.
Yeah, if you put a gun to my head and forced me to bet this game, I would take the 3.5 points with Cincinnati too, just because I could see either team winning this game. No outcome would shock me. Mm-hmm. I do think that Cincinnati's defense is pretty porous. Their offense is good, though. Their offense is really good. Offensive line, iffy at times. But I think Burrow is the real deal, man. I think, all right, I'm not saying Joe Burrow is going to be the next Peyton Manning, because there's not a lot of Peyton Mannings out there. But the way that he's turning around the Cincinnati franchise reminds me of how Peyton Manning turned around the Colts franchise. The Colts were shit before Peyton Manning got there. And from the minute he walked in the door, the whole culture of the team changed. And I see Joe Burrow doing that in Cincinnati right now. I would not be surprised if the Bengals made the playoffs, you know, 7 out of the next 10 years, 8 out of the next 10 years, after, you know, they just got their first playoff win since 1990 or 1991, after all those years of struggling. And so I see him having that impact on this franchise. I think he's for real.
Yeah, and the AFC North is primed to be taken over. You know, you got Big Ben's retiring.
Good point.
Lamar Jackson is inconsistent as hell. You don't know what you're going to get from him.
And always injured.
And so you don't know what you're going to get from him. And then Baker Mayfield is, I mean, I think a lot of that was injuries. But as of right now, he's not a starting quarterback in this league, you know.
Right, right.
If he has another year like he did last year, he'll be the backup in fucking Houston or some shit next year, you know. So, yeah, absolutely he can. This division is primed to be taken over. There's nobody. It's kind of just sitting there waiting for a team or a quarterback like Joe Burrow to come in and take it over for the next decade. And I can absolutely see that happen. Jamar Chase is we said at the beginning of the year, first three or four games of the season, I said on the show that Jamar Chase is not just rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year. He's a Pro Bowler, and he made the Pro Bowl. I think he's in the top three or four in receiving yards this year, which is fucking unbelievable,
dude.
Yeah,
for real.
Unbelievable. Guy's got so much talent, and he still led the NFL in drops this year, which is crazy. Hey, everybody, we're proud to announce that the DMP CD Sports Podcast is brought to you by BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp is awesome, dude, because this is the perfect time of year. It's, holiday season. A lot of people go through loss or experience loss or reminded of loss, whether that's a loved one, a pet, you know what I'm saying?
Or a Vegas contest. Dude, oh for real, God. This is a real story, Chad. So I started using BetterHelp because every time, you know, I turn on the TV, I see the Raiders, I see the Cowboys, and I'm reminded of this terrible gambling loss that I had. So I started using BetterHelp. I've had a couple sessions with them, and it was seriously like super helpful, man. She like walked me through how like the loss that I was experiencing was actually somewhat similar psychologically, like to the loss of a loved one. Like when you go through like those stages of grief and stuff, it's obviously, you know, doesn't compare in like the emotional sense of like, I'm not saying it's worse than that, but in terms of the grieving process is really similar. So it's super helpful, man. I'm digging my BetterHelp experience.
That's awesome, man. I was just going to say,
you got something to say over there.
It's so funny, man. People are like, I've lost my dad and my cat died and my life's just not the same. He's like, I lost a contest.
No, dude, I lost an opportunity at $6 million. I know, let's not make light of it.
I know, but like what I'm saying though is like you had to have gone into this thinking like, dude, you know, there's like a 7 billion chance I'm going to win this.
1 in 4,080 chance.
But you still have to get all the games right. So that's like even more. It's not just you against other people. It's about like, you know,
yeah.
So every week it's that at least, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's really like, but BetterHelp, if you're going through a loss like Tony, like a uncontrollable, you know, devastating loss like Tony has, you know what I mean?
Chad would not make a good psychologist making light of other people's losses.
This is why you got to go to BetterHelp.
I'm struggling with something right now. Chad's just like, that's not a big deal. You need to get over it.
I've been through work, you know. that's what my slogan would be. You know what I'm saying? If I was a therapist or something, and I was like just trying to get like people out of this play.
Therapist ever.
Hey, I've been through worse. It could be worse, okay? But seriously, this is why you don't want to talk to me. This is why you got to go to BetterHelp and get some professional licensed therapy. This isn't self-help. It's not like a crisis line or anything like that. It's professional therapy done securely online. And if you go to BetterHelp.com/DNP, you're going to get 10% off your first month of therapy, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. And you can do video chats with them. You can do phone chats. You can text them. You can text them 24 hours with you if you want, and they're going to respond pretty quickly, which is awesome.
Yeah. So make sure you go to betterhelp.com/DNP. You're going to get 10% off your first month.
You know what? He's the only other guy, the only other guy besides DeAndre Hopkins. He looks different when he's on the field. The moves that he makes, when that guy makes a sideline catch, he makes it look so easy and so effortless and flawless.
He's so fluid, man.
He's so fluid. Yeah. He just looks different than everybody else out there.
Yeah, he does, man. And the thing is, like I said, he led the NFL in drops this year. Imagine.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But imagine if he could just cut that down by half or something. Shit. I mean, he's going to have 2,000 yards receiving next year. He had 1,400 this year. 1,434, yep. I believe, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that dude's going to be an animal. And way to go from the Cincinnati Bengals scouting department, their front office and everything like that. Because a lot of people don't remember, Ja'Marr Chase sat out last year for LSU. He didn't play. So they only had tape on him from his freshman and sophomore year. I'd imagine in freshman year, he probably didn't play a whole lot, you know? So they had tape on him for probably 12 or 15 games and saw enough to say, like, this is good. This guy's a first-round pick and a high first-round pick. And they bet on him, and that has paid off big time, man, because they have got a connection that is going to be, as long as they stay together, that's going to be formidable for years and years to come.
Well, people forget they played football. They played together in college, right?
And LSU.
Burrow banged the table for Chase. Yeah. So, yes, give credit to the front office. Also give credit to Burrow for saying, bring my guy in.
And for sticking up for him, demanding
absolutely.
That. Because if you remember, everybody wanted Cincinnati to take an offensive lineman.
Correct, yep.
Everyone. I mean, we're watching the draft, and they're clamoring for him. And when the pick came in for Ja'Marr Chase, a lot of the pundits were pissed off and upset and thought it was a dumb move. It doesn't look so dumb now. That dude's a fucking animal, man.
Exactly.
He's a beast.
Exactly, yeah. There's something to be said to have an elite number one wide receiver like that. And
yeah.
I feel like you're always in a game when you've got a talent like that.
Yeah, generational players, guys that can – I mean, I saw a couple of times this year take slants and just jet 80-some yards, you know what I mean? So they're always a play away from being right back in the game. Yeah, that's going to be – that's the Cincinnati's done it right, man. That's crazy. That's an organization that has been thirsting for success. First playoff win since 1991, which is crazy as hell. I was 6 years old then, you know what I'm saying, 7 years old at that time.
Yeah.
So that's crazy as hell. First playoff win in 30 years, man, and it's going to be a lot more. And so I would not be surprised if they win this game. I wouldn't be surprised if they win this game by a touchdown, to be honest with you.
Damn.
I really don't
you
think
you can get an alternate line on that. I bet it would probably pay Cincinnati – by a touchdown, God, you're probably going to get almost 3-1 on that.
Oh, yeah. Easily. So, I would say 3.5-1, somewhere around there. But, I would not be surprised if Cincinnati wins this game. I think that Tennessee, you know, kind of got the benefit of playing in one of the shittiest divisions in football. You got Jacksonville and Houston.
They won
division.
A lot of close games. Yeah. You know, the game against the Bills, did they deserve to win that game? There was some funny stuff that happened in the fourth quarter there.
Absolutely not.
Yep.
So, you're there in arguably the worst division in football. And so one team made the playoffs. Indianapolis kind of shit the bed there the last few weeks of the season and didn't make it in. So they had the benefit of playing the Jaguars twice and the Texans twice. There's four wins right there. You know what I mean? That's damn near half their win total this year. So, or a third of their win total this year. So,
I do like Vrabel though. I'll say that. I like that guy coaching in a close game. That guy is fucking smart.
Yeah. I don't like him obviously because he's a Ohio State guy and he's just
but
he seems like a jackass to me, too. You know what I'm saying? I do like that he made Urban Meyer quit, though. That was awesome. Yeah. Taking people out and shit. That was a guy that so he was, I believe, a linebackers coach at Ohio State. That's where he got to start coaching. Mm. And there were times I was watching him. He and Urban Meyer did not get along. Dude.
Really?
They did not get along. It was thick as hell. The tension between the two of those guys was thick as hell. You could see them butting heads. And I read a story recently that supposedly Urban Meyer tried some of that shit that he tried in Jacksonville where how he spoke to the kicker and called him an asshole.
And kicked the fucking kicker.
And that definitely is happening. That definitely happened because I saw some inside Ohio State football episode. This was several years ago, obviously. And I remember they were like at the Ohio State's practice and I forget the special teams coordinator for Ohio State's name, gray haired guy, just an asshole. Thinks he's like at a fucking military base or some shit. And he's yelling and screaming at one of the kickers and says something incredibly condescending, like, you're a fucking kicker, some shit like that. You know what I mean? And I thought, like, dude, that's like really condescending. You know what I'm saying? I can't believe he's talking to him like that. And they showed Urban Meyer just right beside him, didn't bat an eye. So What I read was that Urban Meyer tried that shit with one of Vrabel's buddies. I forget who the coach was. Maybe it was Marcus Freeman. I'm not sure who it was. Marcus Freeman wasn't on their staff, but somebody that that Vrabel was tight with, he tried that shit with him, tried to be condescending, say something to him, and Vrabel got up in his face and said, "Don't you ever fucking talk to him like that again. I'll beat your ass." And then that was like the end of the road for Vrabel. That was okay, you're not going to be coaching here next year.
Damn.
And so they don't like each other, and you could tell that they don't.
I didn't know any of that history. That's interesting.
But, yeah, so it's going to be a good matchup. I think this is going to be one of the best games of the week. It's not the best game.
So you and I both like Cincinnati 3.5. I think we both also like a little money line sprinkle. What's interesting is that if we're correct and Cincinnati wins this game, it's going to make that Sunday game, I think, even more interesting, because now not only is that Bills Chiefs game your ticket to the AFC Championship game, but you're hosting it if you win, because Cincinnati would then knock out the number one seed, and then either the Bills or Chiefs would host the Bengals. And so it would make that atmosphere in that divisional game even more intense, in a game that a lot of people, and I agree with this, are saying whoever wins that game, Chiefs Bills, is going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, because they're more powerful of teams than both the Titans and the Bengals. So what are your thoughts on this game, Chad? I think it was 2.5 or 2 the last I saw Chiefs as the favorites.
Yeah, man, that's going to be a good-ass game, and I agree with you. I think that whoever wins that is probably going to end up going to the Super Bowl. Buffalo seems like they're hitting their stride. They've struggled a lot this year.
Sure.
Also, the damn Jaguars, 9-0, I believe. Yeah, 2.5. I'm taking Buffalo here, man. I think Buffalo's going to win this game. I think Kansas City's kind of just sleptwalked through this whole season. They haven't done anything that you feel like is great.
Looked better recently, though.
Yeah, they have. They definitely have.
Looked a lot better recently.
Definitely have, but they're going to come up against a big test this weekend. They played in the regular season, right? Buffalo and Kansas City, and Buffalo won that game at Kansas City.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was at Kansas City, but Buffalo definitely beat Kansas City this year, and it may have been, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was at Kansas City. Yeah. 2.5, I'm taking Buffalo all day long, man. I think they're going to win that game for sure.
Yeah, man, look at that. You and I are on the same page again.
Yeah.
The only difference we have so far is the 49er-Packer game. I like Buffalo 2.5, but I'm not going to bet it 2.5. I'm just going to take the money line, because as we talk about in this show, games are typically decided by 3. So if it's under 2.5, I'm just going to take Buffalo money line here. Also going to tease Buffalo up. Tease Buffalo up to 8.5. I think that's a great teaser leg for sure.
Yeah.
I got to like the over here. It's 55.5 last I knew. That's a high over. That's a really high over. But as long as there's not any weather concerns, and I got to look into the weather, as long as there's not any weather concerns, I like the over. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. I think everybody else is going to think it's a high scoring game too. You know what that means? That means that total's going up.
Yeah.
And that means the public, everybody's going to be on the fucking over. So bet it now before it gets a little bit higher. Don't be surprised if it's 56.5 by kickoff.
Yeah, total is 55.
55?
Yeah. So the over under. And the money line is 115 all across the board for Buffalo. So,
nice. Okay.
Yeah, man, that would be a nice little bet there.
And I think that's probably going to be the funnest game of the weekend to watch. And I think most people would agree with me that's shaping up to
be. That's a matinee game on Sunday. Yeah, that's going to be a great game, man. I think Buffalo's going to win that game, though.
I do too, man. I wouldn't be shocked if Kansas City won, but I'm going to bet Buffalo for sure.
And then a game that I'm really looking forward to watching. I think this is going to be a good game as well. You got a lot of I'd say all these games are going to be good.
Absolutely.
All four of these
close,
games are going to be good, in my opinion. But L.A. Rams at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a 3-point favorite all across the board. Dude, I'm taking Tampa Bay at home. You know, I think, obviously, they've got a patchwork makeshift wide receiver core, but they still got Evans.
Yeah.
And I think that's enough for Tom Brady to get it done. It's at Tampa Bay. That defense has been playing really well. Great against the run. I think they're number one in the NFL against the run this year. So I think you take that away. You make Stafford throw the ball 45, 50 times in a game. You can pick them once or twice, man. And I think that'll be enough to get the win.
Yeah, I bet Tampa Bay -2.5 earlier in the week because I saw the writing on the wall and I had a feeling it was going to be going up to 3. And I think it is. Is it still at 3 for most places?
It's 3 all across the board.
3 all across the board, yeah. So I'm getting good close. It looks like I'm going to get good closing line value with that at 2.5. If you want to hear an anti-Bucks argument here, a little devil's advocate, Bucks are banged up, man.
Yeah, they have been.
The Bucks are, we all know they lost Antonio Brown. We talked about this on this show. They lost Chris Godwin. So they've got Mike Evans and Gronk back. So when you're playing a team with a good pass rush like the Rams, you're probably going to need Gronk to block a lot.
Yeah.
So that in those situations, when he's blocking or chipping, you really only got one good, legitimate, trusted receiver option. And Mike Evans, dear God, if he goes down, you're really fucked. So that's just on the offensive side of the ball. Oh, how about Tristan Wirfs, your right tackle?
Yeah.
This dude has been as sturdy and as steady of a tackle as there's been in the league this year. He's been protecting Brady all year. I don't know that Brady's, I could be wrong on this. I don't know that Brady's taken a snap without Tristan Wirfs in his Bucs career.
Wow.
So this is a dude that's all, you can always count on him. He's hurt. And then their center, Jensen, left the game as well. And so both of these guys are questionable. If the Bucs are down two offensive linemen going into the Rams with Aaron Donald on that defensive line, how do you think Aaron Donald feels about going up against the fucking backup center in a divisional game?
Mm-hmm.
So I bet the Bucs 2.5. That makes me nervous. If it gets to kickoff time and those two guys are out, I'm probably going to hedge a little bit on the Rams, probably a Rams money line bet at that point. And so that is something to consider there for sure.
Yeah, it definitely is, man. I mean, Tampa Bay can be beat. You know what I mean? They're not by any means like a very sturdy version of themselves. They can be beat, but I'm just not going to bet against Tom Brady until he loses, you know. So Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford's had a pretty good year, and, you know, he's a good quarterback, but he's not Tom Brady. He's got his first playoff win ever, and you're going up against Tom Brady, who's got more. If he wins the Super Bowl this year, I believe he will tie the Patriots for most career postseason wins.
It's basically tying himself, essentially.
Yeah, of all franchises. He has, I think he's like fourth or fifth right now in terms of wins going up against all these other franchises in terms. He has more postseason wins than entire franchises have in their entire history. And if he wins the Super Bowl this year, I believe he'll tie the Patriots for most playoff victories.
Insane.
That's crazy as hell, dude. Yeah, that's guys. So until someone beats him, I'm just not betting against him.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's more than fair. Remember we talked last week about how the Rams were going to be down their two safeties, and I said that made me nervous against the Cardinals. The Rams go out after we recorded our show. They go out and they sign Eric Weddle, who hadn't played in the league in 2 years.
He's a dumbass.
I got to be honest. I thought the Cardinals, with that high-powered offense, granted no DeAndre Hopkins, I thought they were going to throw the ball deep more than they did. I thought they were going to be able to take advantage of a guy who's been sitting on his fucking couch for the last 2 years. I think Brady will be able to take advantage of a
listless,
rusty Weddle.
They just looked listless in that game, dude. Yeah. They just didn't look like they even wanted to be there.
Dropping passes, run over in the run game.
Yeah, they looked like they were already had 1 foot in Cabo already.
For real.
So, that's crazy. So,
and by the way, Kingsbury has a history of his teams petering out at the end of the year.
Because he loses interest. He's thinking about pussy. He's talking about pussy the whole time. He don't give a shit about the game.
I mean, there's been years where they started out fast, looked like a definite playoff team, and then all of a sudden
they were the best team of football for the first 10 or 11 weeks of the season this year. They were winning without Hopkins and without Kyler Murray.
Fucking Colt McCoy at quarterback.
Yeah,
they were winning.
Yeah, Colt McCoy. Yeah. Which is just crazy as hell, man, that guy, you know.
You know what's wild to me, Chad? I agree. They look listless. They look like they didn't want to be there. They look like they wanted their season to be over. But J.J. Watt comes back. Inspirational J.J. Watt, who is overrated because of his history, but three-time defensive player of the year. That's inspirational when your teammate has been out for that long, I don't care who it is, and has worked their ass off to get back in that situation to be able to play in a playoff game. I thought the Cardinals were going to feed off that. I did not see them coming out flat. Now, given Cliff Kingsbury's history, I probably should have seen it coming. And the way the Cardinals finished the season, I probably should have seen it coming. But because of J.J. Watt's injection into that defense and the kind of vocal leader that he is, I thought the Cardinals were going to be able to feed off that, and they sure didn't.
No, they didn't give a shit, man. They didn't care. Yeah, I agree. J.J. Watt is one of the most overrated players in NFL history, man. The guy's always hurt. When he's healthy, he's good, but he's never healthy.
Yeah.
The guy's never – I don't remember the last time he finished a season. You know? So this would be the first year, and that's because he missed like 10 games and then came back.
No shit.
You know what I'm saying? So,
man,
I don't know. I don't know if – you got to be happy that you're a Cardinals fan. You made the playoffs. But your expectations were so much higher after the first 8 to 10 weeks of the season. So
absolutely.
So you're saying it's going to be you're taking Tennessee or Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
Okay. So you think it's going to be Cincinnati and Buffalo?
Let me clarify. I'm taking Cincinnati plus 3.5.
Yeah. Okay. But
I like Cincinnati on the money line.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I think that game, if I'm setting that line, it's a pick 'em. I think either team could win that game, which is why I like Cincinnati, because I'm going to get plus money on it. So wouldn't be surprised at all to see Tennessee lose.
And it is essentially a pick 'em, because as we mentioned on the show, you get 3 points at home no matter what.
Yeah,
usually,
you know what? That figure is actually outdated, believe it or not. Yeah, man. So when I listen to interviews with odd makers, they talk about how these days, because if you look, away teams are winning way more often than they used to. And these days, it's more like a point and a half. And it actually depends on the stadium. So there's a couple shitty teams like the Jaguars who odds makers will give zero extra points for because they've got no home field advantage.
Yeah.
But
practice.
Yeah. And so there are some teams, you know, like the Packers, for instance, some of them will say like 2.5.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay, I can see that.
But anyways.
Yeah. Kansas City might be one of those.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, for sure. Baltimore, believe it or not. I know you don't think of that.
They're favored by 2.5, actually. Kansas City is over Buffalo.
Yeah.
So you're going to Cincinnati, Buffalo, and are you going to San Francisco? I mean, you're taking San Francisco with the points, right?
Dogs, baby. Yeah, with the points, and I do like a money line sprinkle because of the value, but I'd have to say the Packers. If my life depended on it, I'd say Packers.
Are you saying Packers, Bucks?
To win. Yeah, Packers.
So we're going to have a rematch.
Packers-Bucks, yeah.
We'll have a rematch of that. And then Cincinnati and Buffalo, that would be an awesome Final Four.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
For who goes to the playoffs. Tampa Bay or Green Bay, that might be the Super Bowl, dude, honestly, man. I'll
tell you what, I'm obviously a 49er fan. I'm obviously rooting for them. I've got a futures position on the 49ers. I got a lot of reasons to root for them. If they weren't in it, it's hard not to root for the Bengals right now, man. They've just been losing for so long. And you might feel differently. I don't know if you do with them being in your division or not. But I would love to see that fan base get a Super Bowl appearance, at least. I think that would be pretty special.
Yeah, I don't give a damn, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a Browns fan, but as I've mentioned on here before, they're like my least favorite team. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I just want to see some new blood, man. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't mind. And I like Joe Burrow. I like that he left Ohio State. You know, he's smart enough to get the fuck out of Columbus.
Right.
Yeah, man, I would like to see Cincinnati and Buffalo. I think that'd be a great matchup, man, in Buffalo. Don't want to see Kansas City or Tennessee. That's probably who's going to end up being the watch my luck and shit. But, that'd be a great NFC-AFC championship game, man. And those four teams made it. It's going to be a really good weekend, man. Really fun weekend of football, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. And if Derrick Henry's healthy, I think there could be some intrigue with Tennessee, Kansas City as well. You're forcing Kansas City to go on the road. You got a guy who can keep Mahomes off the field by running the ball with Henry. So I don't think there can be a bad AFC matchup out of all four, you know, out of all those possibilities.
Yeah. I mean, regardless, we're going to have some good games this week, man, for sure. Yeah. So that's going to, I think, carry over to next week as well, man. So we got to. Awesome 2 weeks of football, man. We're going to find out who really are the best teams in the league here, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, we had a good football weekend last week. I love the whole Monday night thing. Even though that game was kind of a stinker, I love the Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's pretty beautiful.
Yeah, I love the playoff games on Saturdays, man. That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
I look forward to this every year when you got these matchups right before the championship games. They're on Saturday. It's just two awesome days of football, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun for sure.
Sweet, man. Before we go, you want to tell everybody about Odd Shark?
Yeah, man. One more time. Odd Shark is your source for sports information, sports betting information. They've got the line movements. We've been talking about what the point spreads are, what the totals are, what the over-unders are. We get this information from Odd Shark, and they're constantly moving, especially this time of year. You got the fucking Super Bowl coming up. You absolutely need to be keeping an eye on Odd Shark for the line movement during the Super Bowl. So definitely check them out, oddsshark.com. They've got other things other than football. We've spent this show talking about that main sport, but any sport you can think of, you can find on Odd Shark and read awesome articles from them as well.
Yeah, man. Go-to resource, man. If you don't know too much about a game that's coming up or a matchup or a boxing event or UFC, go to Odd Shark. Chances are they've got an article written about that, a breakdown of the matchup, and give you a little bit more confidence heading into placing your bet and everything like that.
Yeah, free resource too, so definitely check
it
out.
Yeah, that's the most important part, man. It's absolutely free. It's not a membership. It's not anything like that, man. It's absolutely free, so you don't have to sign up, you know what I'm saying? So make sure you go to oddshark.com. Check out all these lines. Make sure you get the best number you possibly can.
Absolutely.
Awesome show, brother. We're going to be interested to see what happens next week. I think we're going to have a guest next week, hopefully, as well.
Sweet.
That I'm really, really excited about. We would you guys will find out next week, motherfuckers. I ain't telling you now because I ain't gonna jinx this shit. I ain't announcing him until he's here on the Zoom call. You know,
smart
what I'm
move.
So,
but check us out on Twitter at DNPCD Show. That's where we're most active on social media. But we've also got Facebook and Instagram pages at DNPCD Sports. Give us a thumbs up if you happen to be watching on YouTube. Subscribe. Love when you hit that subscribe button.
Yeah, tell your friends about the show. Subscribe, all that stuff. Leave us a review. We appreciate everybody. Thanks for watching. If you're on YouTube, thanks for listening on all the other platforms. Please tell your friends about the show. We'll see you guys next week with a brand new episode. For Tony, I'm Chad. Guys, have a great week. Peace out.
Thanks for listening. You can find more episodes and all of our other Hot Pie Media originals baked fresh daily at our home online at hotpiemedia.com, the Hot Pie Media YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.